this morning session will be a session dedicated to the Holy Name. Therefore, I have designed this as the Holy Name Day. And we will be doing some, we will have some amazing insights. There will be some very deep points. And then afterwards, after the pause, we really have a surprise for you. And surprises are surprises, but it's not even nice maybe if I promise something, but when I met this surprise for the first time in my life, it was just so much giving devotional feelings in the heart. So during the pause you might like to go and do things, but please tell devotees whom you meet, even bridge Basis and everyone, pilgrims, to be ready for something. I can say already what it is. It is a very, very nice theater play which we will play here. Not at all. I mean, very, very deep and philosophical. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varadhari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Maybe 2 years ago, when reading Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka, we stumbled upon a very amazing and intriguing statement of Kavikana Purna. He distinguished between two types of devotional service or two types of bhakti. Bhakti with nectar and bhakti without nectar. And naturally, we were intrigued to find out when bhakti or devotional service is fulfilled and pervaded with nectar, and when our devotional service is without nectar. Have you also witnessed periods in your life which seem to be without nectar? Where you seem to just be doing things in a mechanical way, and the taste cannot be found in the activity, and even not in the shadow of the activity. That is bhakti without nectar. Bhakti with nectar means bhakti which is imbued with the bhakti rasa. And rasa, or a taste, in a spiritual taste, appears within sambandha, or relationship. The bhakti rasa, in other words, the taste of bhakti, appears at the time when a devotee performs his devotional service with a firm understanding of a relationship to which he has to Krishna. Now, the most safest bhakti rasa, which is also available to those who have not yet developed their constitutional position or their eternal identity, Siddha Swarup, is the Dasya Rasa, or the taste which comes when a devotee considers himself as a servant of Lord Krishna. This Dasya Rasa is pervading all rasas, from the Dasya Rasa to the Sakya Rasa to the Vatsalya Rasa and finally the Madhurya Rasa. Everyone relates to Krishna in the mood of serving and pleasing him. But in this world, every devotee in the spiritual domain and also on the level where there's still a material conditioning relates to Krishna in the Dasya Rasa with a distinctive difference. In the spiritual world, the awe and respect is not there. But in the Dasya Rasa, which a devotee here in this world wants to taste, a taste in relationship to Krishna, it is very important that we view Lord Krishna with a very respectful mood, that he is so inconceivable great and inconceivable merciful, and we are his very humble servants who can be extremely grateful for every opportunity. So let us come back to the point. Bhakti is with nectar, or bhakti can be without nectar. And the nectar of Krishna consciousness appears always in a relationship to Krishna. It's very important to take this philosophical principle also to the holy name, Lord Krishna's very merciful manifestation. Let us say the first meeting with Lord Krishna takes place for the conditioned soul when he meets Lord Krishna in his holy name. You will not meet Lord Krishna at other places because the holy name is imbued with a special shakti and a special, let me say, position. It's that form of Lord Krishna, the Naam Prabhu, which extends himself even into this dark material universe. And if you cannot meet Krishna in the holy name, you will not be able to meet him anywhere else. This is the first meeting point, the meeting place of Lord Krishna, of the conditioned soul in Krishna. This is a statement by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we were observing that bhakti is sometimes with nectar and without nectar. Also, the Naam Seva, or chanting the holy name, can be with nectar or without nectar. The Naam Seva, or the chanting of the holy name, is always without nectar when you have no idea of sambandha or your relationship with Krishna while you chant. When you think chanting is just a meditative process, or it is a duty, or it is only, a sadhana, then you will not have so much an idea of sambandha. But when you chant, while clearly understanding, the holy name is Krishna, and I'm worshipping Krishna, I am Krishna's, and Krishna is mine. At such a time, the Naam Rasa, or the taste, can appear. You will see this when you chant for a prolonged time. Then you will see very clearly if during the chanting period I will express it positively. You begin to think of Krishna and remember Krishna's qualities and so on. And remember Krishna means his form, his qualities, everything about him. Then all of a sudden your chanting gets alive. Here I would like, previously I have said there are two types of bhakti, one with nectar and one without nectar, and which one it is depends if you can introduce sambandha in your practice. I would like to now take this principle and express it in a little bit, let me say, existential language. Chanting can also be of two types. And I will now choose different words. It can be with life or without life. My dear devotees, all over the world this my dear devotee is quoted. We know one devotee who always says, my dear devotees. I will also say it now, says the speaker. here it comes from the... Anyways. Chanting can be with life or without life. For many, many, many years I had chanted, and then I stumbled over this little article by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, taken out of his work, Sri Chaitanya's teachings, and I noticed I had to overhaul my whole practice of chanting Hare Krishna. I didn't know that chanting can be with, or that the nama can be with life or without life. But when I heard it, I was first of all rejecting this idea. I mean, not rejecting, but thinking, really? I mean, isn't the name always the name? That's an illusion. Someone can chant and not chant. Someone can, in other words, say, pronounce the alphabets of the holy name, the letters of the holy name, H, A, R, and E for Hare, and K, R, S, N, A for Krishna, and there is no spiritual reality there. There is only maybe a very distant semblance of spiritual reality there. Because I feel this is so important, I will now read from this article, which distinguishes divine sound, where Krishna is present, from mundane sound, where Krishna is not present. The holy name of Krishna means divine sound. It can be compared to a capsule of medicine. Oh, Gaur Hari! Yes. The capsule is not the medicine. Externally, one capsule may look like another. But within one capsule, there may be medicine, and within another, there may be cyanide. This is one of the most deadly poisons. The capsule itself is not the medicine. It is not, and now this is translated, it is not that the sound of Krishna's name, that is Krishna. No, Krishna is within the sound. The holy name must be surcharged with the proper spirit, not any mundane sentiment. Then it is divine sound. And this divine sound appears if you chant really, like Prabhupada has given us this sambandha mantra, please accept me. Please accept me in what ras, in what mood, dasya ras, as your servant. It's a very profound statement. Please accept me as your servant. Then only if this spirit is there while you chant, your holy name or your mantra awakens to life. And why this is so is explained further. The divine sound of the holy name must have its origin beyond the area of misconception or Maya. Sound must have its origin in Germany. No. Thank you for being awake. Sound must have its origin in Goloka Vrindavan. The mere physical sound is not the holy name of Krishna. Repeating only the syllables, the mere sound of the holy name is called mayic sound. It has no spiritual essence. The life of the name is absent in offensive chanting. And then he continues, the most important thing in chanting the holy name is the spiritual realization backing the name, being in the background of the holy name. And with this little innocent sentence, we enter a world of philosophy and a world of new meaning. Do you know that everything in your spiritual life is dependent on your mental attitude? It is said each day in Calcutta 1,000 prostitutes take a bath in the Ganga. Do they come out as purified pilgrims? No, they have just washed themselves. They are afterwards applying the cosmetics and then they go into the streets to earn the money. Srila Prabhupada has written about this. People generally go to the Gangas to be purified of the effects of sinful life. But here is an example of how foolish persons, these are the Kuvera's sons, enter the Ganges to become involved in sinful life. You might remember the two sinful people, Kuvera and what was their name? Manigriva and Navakuvera and Manigriva, they entered the Ganga with a group of young ladies who were naked, and they were there drinking in the Ganga some water, some wine, and engaging in sensual activities. So these two sons of Kuvera entered the Ganga to become involved in sinful life. And then now listen to Prabhupada's sentence. It is not that everyone becomes purified by entering the Ganges. Everything, spiritual and material, depends on one's mental condition. If you would like to have the quotation because it's so mind-striking, it's in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 10th chapter, text number 4 in the purport. Right? 10:4 in the purport. Please read it there because it really helps you to enter into a wonderful dimension in your Krishna consciousness where you can actually do something to experience the life of the holy name or a bhakti with nectar. Are you ready to hear more on this, or is it already too mind-striking and you feel you need to digest this a little bit longer, or you're ready? A tape recorder can pronounce the holy name of Krishna just like a parrot. Good. Thank you. But the physical sound is not Krishna. In the background, there must be spiritual truth which is conscious. You cannot capture the holy name of Krishna. You cannot capture Krishna simply by vibrating the syllables of the holy name with your tongue. Now an example is given of someone who thought he could capture a spiritual personality but who was unsuccessful. The example is of course Ravana. Ravana wanted to capture Sita and he thought he did, but factually he did not even touch her divine body. Ravana caught only a mundane replica of Sita Devi, an imitation which was like a statue of Sita. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur goes to this very famous sentence. He says, if you chant, your chanting cannot only be lip deep, but it must be heart deep. The heart is the place for meditation, for thinking, for really developing the sambandha with Lord Krishna. My dear devotees, this is a capsula, a medicinal capsula. It is made of gelatine, most properly. There are also vegetarian capsules, but this, we always only take the powder of this. This in itself has nothing to do with medicine. The medicine is here. This itself, you can see, is an empty shell. It contains, now it's, yes. It could be that a very bad intentioned person puts cyanide in it, that is the most deadly poison, and mixes it amongst the medicine, and then, you know, the person who would take it would be poisoned. So the holy name in itself needs that this sambandha, this feeling of sambandha, in order to develop life and to become alive and so on. To be not a mayic sound, but to be a spiritual sound vibration. This is absolutely required. It is. There must be the service attitude in the holy name. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very, very nice progression of this sambandha feeling towards Krishna, this feeling of relationship, in a verse which comes in, you know, where our transformational hero, the chapters where our transformational hero is described. You remember in the beginning we told you about the amazing transformation of a blood-drinking monster into a pure devotee who was impelled by spontaneous affection for Krishna, was Vritasura. Towards the end of his life, after his amazing transformation, Vritasura wrote a shloka which Bhaktivinoda Thakur says gives a very good spirit for the chanter. It's a prayer for service, a prayer to be related with Krishna. It comes in the 6th canto, 11th chapter, text 26. Would you like to hear this prayer? O lotus-eyed Lord, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. And then now examples are given. How the devotee waits for Krishna. The first example, and these examples are, one is better than the other. It starts on the beginner's platform. As baby birds that have not yet developed their wings always look for their mother to return and feed them. This is how I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. You know, the baby birds in the nest, they are there. Some sound, please. My orchestra is sleeping at the moment. You know, they are there. And they scream. And when you come close, I do not know, those of you who live on the country, you see only a mouth. They have a big need to fulfill because they wait for the mother to come and feed them. The second example, how the devotee waits for Lord Krishna, for his relationship for Krishna, to render direct example, is as small calves tied with ropes and await anxiously the time of milking when they will be allowed to drink the milk of their mothers. This is how I wait for you and the opportunity to render direct service to you. In Vrindavan, the farmers keep the little calves, and then they bring the little calves to the mother, and the calves will start sucking the nipples of the udder so that the milk flow starts in the cow spontaneously. And then usually the farmer takes the little calf aside and binds it somewhere so that the cow can see and her affection is still there, and then he starts milking the cow. And then after some time, when the farmer knows, well, so much is left, it's good for the, it will feed the calf, then he brings the calf so that the calf can drink the rest. This is the way of milking in Vrindavan, which you can see everywhere. Because the cow gives spontaneously its milk out of affection. So they bring the very affectionate little calf to whom the cow is most affected. The cow also gives the milk out of affection to human beings. So the calf, this is the second example, when the calf is bound, it is very eager to get the milk and pulls at the ropes, wanting to move forward. And the third example of someone who wants a sambandha and service in that sambandha is from our human group of living entities. O lotus-eyed Lord, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. As a morose wife whose husband is away from home always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects. You know, at least in India, the women would not go outside of the house as long as their husbands is in a distant place, and they would naturally long for the husband to return. And then when they received news of their husband's approaching the house, they would decorate themselves in their fine saris and in their ornaments, and they would then greet the husband with affectionate glances. At the doorstep, they would maybe give some rangoli coloring. And then they would satisfy the husband in all respects. They would cook for him. They would maybe sit him on a swing and swing him a little so that the fatigue is going away. And later they might enter the room for nuptial exchange. Yes, if you don't feel like that in relationship to the husband, I see this as a cultural interesting point. So let us now view these three examples in relationship to our point, chanting the holy name with a feeling of sambandha and with a desire to render direct service. Because this is the whole idea, how can our chanting get more life? You know, what is our conception which is backing the holy name? Well, in the first examples of the baby birds, it's mixed with a lot of selfishness. The baby birds don't do anything. They are maybe not even very much interested in the mother bird. They are interested in the food. If the mother bird comes without food, the baby birds are not extremely pleased. You know, they go like clack, 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 clack with their huge mouth, desiring to get something, to get food. So the devotee who thinks of a relationship with Krishna at that first beginning of where he thinks of his Sambandha has not yet the idea of rendering service to Krishna. He maybe wants to enjoy the chanting. He wants to enjoy Krishna. My chanting was blissful today, Prabhu. This is the first beginning of the chanting, and progress needs to be made from there into other realms. The second example is still tainted with selfishness. The calf is interested in the cow for the milk, but as you all know, there are other affectionate exchanges between mother and calf. The cow licks affectionately the calf, and there must be also something coming from the calf. I don't know calf psychology, so I cannot speak very convincingly on this. Primarily there is some padahati here, some process, some activeness going on. The calf moves forward to the cow. So on the second level of chanting, the chanter will do something to move forward to in his spiritual life. He will accept favorable circumstances and reject unfavorable circumstances. The third example of the morose wife who feels very much separation from her husband who is away is best for the sadhaka who wants to feel who wants to experience the life of the holy name. It's an example of giving service. The wife is waiting and longing to give service. She has decorated the house very nicely. She is preparing sweets and the favorite dishes of her husband after a long absence of the husband, and gives in many ways service. Even it is known in the erotic principles, when there is only a selfish idea, then the pleasure is not as high as when there is an idea of giving pleasure. It is known in this erotic psychology. So the idea here is rendering service and being active. So let me summarize what we have now. It is not that everything spiritual and material depends on one's mental condition. Also, when you chant, your mental condition is very, very important. And the mental condition which we should take on is the feeling of three things. We should think of Krishna, we should experience Vipralamba as a morose wife, and feeling of separation, my Lord, I am separated. And we should rush forward with an idea of giving pleasure. This might be revolutionary concepts for you, and you might search in your mind for more quotations of Prabhupada to be a little bit more secure in this. And here is one which is really the quotation to be given at this time. I will give you the name of the quotation. It's Srimad Bhagavatam, or the place of the reference, Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 8th Chapter, Text 26. There Prabhupada says, "The Lord's holy name has powerful potency, but there is a quality to such utterances." Those whose language, those who have another language than English as their mother tongue. Utterances means to utter, means to speak. Huh? There is a quality to such utterance. It depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. He is incapable really of uttering the name in quality. Let us look as an example to understand this more in depth. When you have the quality of being very hungry, then even little food like kittery will be delicious for you. The hunger gives you the qualification to really appreciate food. And the absence of hunger or appetite, we could say, the beginning stage of hunger is appetite, will give you, when you don't have an appetite, you will not really like any food. You might even view food with some feelings of distance and of you might like to distance yourself from the food. No, no, thank you. Take it somewhere else. I don't like this. I'm not, it's not for me. So, the qualification to chant is really this mood or feeling, as Prabhupada here says, that you feel helpless. You feel desperately in need of Lord Krishna and His mercy. At that moment, you will think of Sambandha. Krishna is my only help. Krishna is my only solution. Krishna sometimes evokes these feelings in His devotees by consciously giving them some amount of trouble. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes how Lord Krishna evokes this feeling by consciously making Himself absent from His devotees. He says this in relationship to the Naparayam verse. He says, "Oh, my dear gopis who do not know my real intention. Oh, my dear gopis who do not know my real intention. I sometimes make myself absent from my devotees, just to increase the quality of their feeling, their hankering." He speaks of hankering. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says here, "Those who chant the holy name, sometimes the Lord makes Himself absent while they chant the holy name, so that this feeling of helplessness and longing enters the Naam Bhajan of such devotees, the chanting of the, and then Krishna becomes present." We have discussed this with one devotee who is also present. This devotee did a Naam Vrata and was, means chanting extra rounds, and sometimes came in the stage of absolute, "What am I doing? What am I doing? I might go back." But then, and only then, and he came to me totally distraught, totally finished, and I looked at him and said, "Continue to chant and tell me what you experience tomorrow. I think you're just before getting a great gift." So in good faith, the devotee started. And the next morning, he went down to Mother Ganga to go into seclusion, where we were. There was a very nice cave which was inhabited by the best of crocodiles. You know, the crocodile who lives at the bank of the Ganga is certainly the best of crocodiles. Now that crocodile was absent and we could use the cave. And you would look out of the cave and you would see left and right only Ganga and would hear her sound. Very sweet sound, very sweet music. So the devotee was sent there in the cave of the best of the crocodiles and chanted. And then I met him again the next day and said, "So, how is everything?" The devotee looked like the rising sun over the ocean of which has arisen over the ocean of being mental. The devotee was just extremely ecstatic because it is a fact. Krishna does make himself absent, and when you when you have feeling, the feeling of love, and the feeling of sambandha, you are the only one I still have, and you are not coming. Oh, Krishna, feeling of longings, feeling of separation. Then he makes himself available. Oh, best of the devotees who do not know Krishna's real intentions, don't despair. When you do your Naam Seva and you experience this facet of Krishna's wonderful dealings to evoke more feeling. Like Prabhupada says, it depends on the quality of feeling. Yesterday we talked about eagerness. I will now go to another point. We talked about eagerness in chanting, and we said that this eagerness and longing can be had from where? From association with devotees, yes. Today I would like to cement this point a little bit with some very nice quotation from the Yoga Shastras. There is a commentary attributed to Srila Vyasadev to Patanjali, who says something extremely helpful about making contact with a pure devotee. Sometimes we are not in the situation that we have very high class sadhu sangha available in our lives. And sometimes we may feel the need really, or a sadness, I couldn't associate with Srila Prabhupada, or my exalted spiritual master has left the planet, I'm a disciple of Tamakrishna Maharaj, or Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, or Gaur Govinda Maharaj, and now I cannot chant in the direct association of my Gurudev. We may feel this, and this feeling is sometimes exploited by other Gaudiya movements who present their only savior, because this feeling is a psychological fact. The human being feels at this, and it. But there is, or the Christians, they're the only way, and so on. There is a very nice point to contemplate. In chanting, you need to control the vrittis. Does anyone know yoga psychology here? Vrittis are the thought waves, like desires, which come. By fixing the mind or concentrating the mind, like Prabhupada said, either chanting loud or silent, the main point is concentration. So this this commentary says one can control vrittis, the thought waves, or by fixing the mind on one who has transcended human passions and attachments. What you can do, for instance, in chanting, you can look at a picture of Srila Prabhupada, or what is very favorable is you can focus your mind on Haridas Thakur. Because anyone who even says Haridas, he is blessed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can look at a picture, or you can think of the person. In the guidebooks for Smaranam or meditation, the sadhaka will always move into the presence of his guru mentally, meditatively, and see the guru dressed in wonderful cloth near to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and so on. So you can think, and by thinking or looking at this person, you can pacify and purify the mind, and concentration comes. May I want to prove this. May I know here, any one of you, was he ever in love? Or she? Did this happen to you? This feeling of falling in love? I will not ask the brahmacharis because we as Brahmachari Maharaj, we won't say, it happened to me and she was wonderful. I still maintain this. No, we will not. But let us look psychologically what happens as changes when someone remembers the person he loves. At that time, something happens in the mind. Sometimes blushing is there. And other physical reactions can turn up when a person thinks of a person he is in love with. Blushing, maybe a quicker movement of the eyes. And a feeling, a soothing feeling, which enters the heart. I'm speaking of love, I'm not speaking of lust. We could give lust examples, but it happens in every fifth lecture, and we will now give an example of a love example, not a lust example. There are changes in the mood, in the heart, and even physically. You feel relieved. It can be measured. Your thymus glands functions differently. There are measurements on this, and so on. So if you think of the great Vaishnava personality comes into your mind, and especially his example comes into your mind, you will also experience, as the commentary to Patanjali here says, the qualities of this person entering. This is described in Padma Purana chapter... Is it possible? I have here 112. The quotation, I must say, from my writing is not clear, but I took it from a place. It was the art of chanting from Mahanidhi Maharaj, where the quotation appeared. But my handwriting—it's really there. In other words, listen to this amazing quotation. One gets 100 portion, the 100 parts. One gets 100, the 100 portion of the religious merit of a person by thinking of him. You get from that person when you meditate about him something. Therefore it is said, if you serve your Guru Maharaj, you get Rati Rasa, the taste of love, which is in his heart, it comes to you. 100th. How would you pronounce this in proper English? 1%. You get 1/100. You get 1%. Do you have to say it like this? By thinking of a person, one gets 1% of the religious merit of a person by thinking of him. It must be like this. Think of, you know, the young teenagers who have this desire of sticking picked posters on their walls of their preferred idols, music idols, fashion idols, wrestling idols. I do not know what teenagers take on. And you can see they begin to dress like them. They begin to speak like them. Have you ever entered the room of a teenager with the posters? They always need examples at that age. And they begin to move like them and so on. Isn't it, Purijan Prabhu, when your children were teenagers?
Not my children.
Oh, sorry, 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 sorry. I see many devotee children nowadays have also teenager faces, and they put these posters. you know, enter the intensely smelling room of a teenager, because they are in the mood of puberty, you know, they are in the, everything changes around in the body, and look, and how they have the posters, and you know, that the qualities come to them. It is very natural. So therefore, thinking of great personalities is very, very necessary. The glorification of great personalities is said in the Bhagavatam. It will give you Rati Rasa, a taste of love. A taste of love. This is very necessary. And take this as something which encourages you. Sometimes when you are not in the, you know, you may be doing some service and you are alone, think of such a great personality. Meditate about Giriraj. Meditate about Tulsi Devi. Meditate about the example of Srila Prabhupada. And you will see something comes your way. I always feel this as, you know, when I read about Srila Prabhupada, and it's amazing. What in my own case, I'm a little creative in my mind and think this and that and the other thing. When I read about Prabhupada, I personally always feel, okay, shape up, Satchinandan Swami. It's not that I do something which you couldn't know about, you know, but I feel, okay, streamlined now, determined, you know, Bodhidobha. Bodhidobha means, is a Yugoslavian word for become better, you know. Tighten up, you know. This is immediately what happens. Because you get some of the qualities of the personality. It comes into your heart. It's wonderful. So please don't lament that the highest class of association is absent. Now I must run around. No. It's there. This was a part. Now for the remaining part of our of this part of the presentation, I will continue. I would like to give you some very, very powerful tools in your hands. I'm in constant anxiety that you cannot hear me. Am I clear enough? Our Prabhu has arrived. Welcome, Prabhuji. Your good name, please. Bill. Wow. Can you acoustically understand? Wonderful, Bill. This will be now very deep. Listen very attentively. Soon will be also a pause. So give your little, give your extra special quality of hearing. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, the 17th Vilas or chapter, text number 129, we hear some powerful instructions to bring us to an effective japa reform or chanting of the holy name. I will read to you the Sanskrit and then the translation, and then we will go step by step through the six steps which will enliven, which will bring the life to the name. Mana samharanam socham monamantrata chintanam avyagratvam anirvedo japa sampati hetavaha. Now this is for those who want to perfect their chanting. Is there an active interest in my audience? Please, who wants to perfect their chanting? Okay. In order to perfect one's chanting of japa, one needs to cultivate the following qualities. Please notice the word cultivate. It's an sadhana. It's not that you can immediately have this quality, but you must practice to develop this quality by and by. So when you hear now these qualities, don't think, oh, I don't have them, I'm hopeless. No, you can develop them. Control of the mind, first quality. Internal and external purity. This is the second quality, which helps you to perfect your japa. Silence, the Sanskrit word here is monam. And the fourth, contemplation of the mantra's meaning, that is meditating about the mantra's meaning. Patience, the fifth. And the last quality which helps you and which you need to cultivate is steadfastness. I would like to go with you through all these qualities now, step by step. Let us start with the first. Manas, anything is any question for the points? The first is mana sankarana. I said samharana, that's wrong, sankarana. Control of the mind means to repeatedly bring the mind back when it wanders towards the sense objects. My dear devotees, this will happen as you enter the japa chanting. Sometimes those who have chanted the holy name have reported to me, I don't know Maharaj. As I chant, sometimes I'm overwhelmed with strong material desires which I did not know in this degree. Now from the yoga psychology, there is a statement that usually every person's emotions, the normal person's, are blocked. He doesn't express himself freely, because some of the emotions are not helpful, and social convention tells us, don't do it. It is also said there is a parasympathetic nervous system which helps you, when it is strengthened, to control desires. If men who would not who are uncivilized, who are not like devotee people, who wouldn't have this parasympathetic nervous system intact, if it's not there, their aggression potential would constantly bring them into fights other unhealthy attitudes, which I don't want to describe here at the sacred place. Let us not be too complicated here, but let us go to the essential point. The emotions, which are usually in yoga psychology related to certain places or energy centers or chakras in the body, are usually blocked in many people's life. You can feel this, you know, when you feel a little awkward, or you understand, why am I always so agitated? Why am I always so much in anxiety? You know, it can have a material cause, you know. And as now the person enters, sometimes a little oil may just help to control the anxiety, you know, the little kapha or a little treatment that you can ask our anonymous expert of Ayurveda, who is amongst us. You know, there can be something can be done on this level. But it is said that if someone practices serious sadhana, these blockades will open and the sadhaka will experience in his or her life sometimes some things which surprise him in the thinking, feeling and willing department of his life. That is natural. That is to be expected in the process of purification. That is to be expected. Therefore, someone might go through such times, and this is to be expected. It can happen that a person who enters the kingdom of chanting for a prolonged time will find all of a sudden all types of disturbing impurities in his mind of all sorts and measurements. And it could mean that one of these centers is just opening, almost like a pimple is opening, and some pus comes flying through the air. It's to be expected. Sometimes the chanter will see things in his mind. He can only shake his head, Hari Bol, and continue. Have you experienced? Anyways, this is too much of an. This is a private. It happens. Early devotees came with this to Prabhupada. You know, this is to be expected. So mana sankarana means to repeatedly, not only once, bring the mind back when it wanders into the world of sense objects. Krishna speaks about this in the Bhagavad Gita. Yata yata nischalati, wherever the mind goes, due to its flickering nature, from there one must certainly withdraw it and bring it under the control of the self. This is necessary. So when you wander and all of a sudden, what happened? I'm thinking of America, or I'm thinking of this or that. Bring it back. To the sound of the holy name. This was the first rule. The second, socham, purity refers to external cleanliness and internal purity. You know, when you chant, it is, although Lord Chaitanya says the chanting is not dependent on any rules and regulations, we do know that a pure environment, clean environment, is better. When you're freshly showered, when you are freshly showered, it's just more goodness is there, and it is easier to control the mind from the lower tendencies of tamas and rajas. That is known. Or if you chant in a room which looks as if the atom bomb just exploded there, so disorderly, you will find a tamasic atmosphere, and it's not so easy. Just to be clean externally. Now everyone knows that mental contamination stick much more firm to us than dust, sweat and mud. Internal purity is much more difficult. For internal cleanliness, it's important to weed the garden of the heart of the six types of weed. You can read these weeds in the garden of the heart in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 12, text 135. Once again, CC Madhya 12, 135. There it is described that the devotee, while cultivating bhakti, must be careful to remove the following six weeds which are stifling or choking the plant of bhakti. It's kutinati, fault finding or a diplomatic behavior. Jiva himsa, it means violence towards others, or enviousness, which is the seed of violence, the subtle form. It means Kutinati, Jiva, Hingsa. There comes a third, and then what? Yeah, these are already. Yes, then come Nishidacha. Thank you. That is activities which are unacceptable on the path of devotional service. And then comes Lava, Puja, and Pratishta, the three very subtle things. First, you start with fault finding. These are grosser things, jiva, hingsa, and nishidacha, this unacceptable behavior. But then you must go in the subtle realm of the garden of the heart and get these subtle weeds out, which is that in any transaction you want your own profit to happen. That's your own profit. Then puja, you want to be worshipped or recognized or famed. And finally, pratishta, which is you want really to be recognized. It's not directly you want to be worshipped, but recognized. Yes, like that. I will not delve with this. I have delved in many japa workshops with this. I will not go into this now in detail. Those of you who would like to pursue and think and understand, you have the reference in the Chaitanya Madhya Lila for your private reading. So this internal thing is very possible, very necessary. I found out, this is a practical experience of a modern sadhaka, that anxiety can be something which is very bad as you enter the chanting. And anxiety in our cases comes very often with disturbed relationships. If you disturbed relationships give the maximum of anxiety, it's very frequent. So if you want to, for the sake of your chanting, you can be humble in your relationships. You can even buy an extra ticket for the sake of your chanting. This is very, very important. When you enter the serious Naam chanting, you will feel anxieties which very often come from disturbed relationships. Get your relationships in order and then you can progress very easily. That's a practical experience by several devotees, and I believe there is this quotation. Now I know from in the prayers of Queen Kunti, where Queen Kunti says that from these social disturbances the miseries of material life come. If you want to avoid miseries, just get this social thing, the relationships there. Therefore, in the last, we have highly commendable and activities in our ISKCON movement. I think you are the famous Krishna Leela Mataji who knows this mediation, or what is your strength, Mataji?
Braja Leela.
She is this Braja Leela, and she is mediation, or what is? Mediation, and our Braj Bihari, who is even in outside organizations active, you know, mediation, conflict resolution, problem solving, all this, you know, is very, very good, commendable, because so much anxiety comes just from this. And then the spiritual actor, then when you chant, oh, what did he say to me? How did he mean it? Oh, no. Oh no, then the mind goes, you know, the mind finds finally something I can think about, finally, bang. I'm anyways a little bored in my chanting, you know, so interesting, and that goes rum, 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 before you know, there's a whole palace of anxiety constructed by the mind, which feels very happy to have some, I don't know if it feels happy, but it feels very, this is a sign now to go, and we can become very active and do many things and bring you to an overreaction and so on. Good. So socham purity refers to external cleanliness and internal purity. Don't allow that the mud and sweat of disturbed relationships or of these other things which we have mentioned, these weeds, get in the way of your Naam Seva and so on. The last point before our pause is Mona, silence. Mona, silence, means to strictly avoid unfavorable talking. In bhakti, we don't just sit down and don't talk with each other. But it is known in any meditation practice, if you do it, you do silence. It's traditional. You don't talk with each other. The utmost silence, monam, is when you don't speak, but also with your eyes and with your gestures. You you stop communicating. Strictly speaking, it's not so much monam when, you know, you sometimes see these babas who are monam but who have a writing board, and they write everything, they read the daily newspaper, you know. And then when you come and say something, they make this gesture, I'm in monam. No, the mind is vibrating like anything from these newspapers and from this writing and so on. It's a screaming mind, you know. It's not silence, really, strictly. With monam, you want to make the mind still, really. That's the idea. So, in Krishna consciousness, it means to strictly avoid unfavorable talking. Do you know what is the worst unfavorable talking? It's to criticize others. Yeah. That really makes your mind vibrate like wild. You know. You might feel this when there is enough, when you have Krishna Katha, you have talked Krishna Katha, and then in the evening you get together. Did you hear about so and so? And you feel an electrical charge going through your heart. Something exciting happens here, you know. I did not hear. Please explain in great detail, you know. And then, this useless guy. And this is very unfavorable talking. Criticizing, fault-finding, kutinasha. Dosha kirtan, the kirtan of the faults of others. So monam refers especially to keeping silent during the practice, but it also holds true outside of the immediate time of chanting mantra japa. We all know how the effects of an uncontrolled tongue engaged in prajalpa can have a long-lasting unfavorable influence on our minds. Yes, Hare Krishna. You know, first of all, during the practice, I know from there is an instance. Once Lokanath Goswami and his disciple Narottam Das Thakur were in Vrindavan chanting. And they chanted and chanted and chanted. And at that time, a farmer came to Lokanath Goswami and said, Pani, Pani. He was thirsty. He wanted water. But Lokanath Goswami was so much absorbed in the chanting that he did not react. So Narottam thought, well, I'm not giving him water, he won't go away. You know, these bridge bassis, they're very simple-hearted, and you know, they're thirsty, so they must drink something, and then they go and please give me water, and they will not go earlier. So he was thinking, let me give him water, and then there is peace. So he gave him, he took him and said, here is your water. And then, a little later, and then he went back to chanting. Then a little later, you have some news?
They're ready now.
Wonderful. I will just finish this story. Thank you. So then he sat down and continued chanting. After some time, when the chanting of Lokanath Goswami was over, Lokanath turned to Narottam Das Thakur and said, you're not fit for chanting. You have interrupted your service to Radha and Krishna for the sake of an ordinary farmer who could get his water from anywhere and everywhere. You have interrupted your service. And he severely admonished Narottam Das Thakur. So, while you do the practice of chanting, please learn to finish at least your rounds, and I think this will also help the other devotees to create a mood of respect, you know, to not talk towards the holy name, to not talk during the practice of chanting. Now I agree, when you are in the car and everything goes and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then what is this? And then you talk with your neighbor of you know, let's be natural. But I'm speaking now of japa, and I know in the temple of Radha Gopinath this is strictly maintained, because it's disrespectful really towards the holy name to always interrupt and turn to the talk with others. It's not good. It's not nice. So monam, which is helpful to refers to obviously to keeping silence during the practice, but also it refers to chanting the holy to avoid prajalpa or unfavorable talk. We have now come to a natural and to a pause as we wanted to have. No, please don't go. This is now a very important announcement. This pause will be 15 minutes on my wristwatch, which is synchronized with Braj Bihari's. I would say we meet in exactly 11:30 British time, please. And then there will be a wonderful theater. And really, Prabhu, this theater is not like Liquid Beauty, you know, something which borders close to tastelessness. It is something which is very, very necessary for my seminar on the Holy Name. It is something very deep and very much oriented towards Rupa Goswami. Also, I see two very nice guests. Welcome, Swagatam. Please be with us in 15 minutes. This theater play, you will not be able to forget it. It will give you very much pleasure in your heart. Please, you're very much welcome. Okay, so see you at 11:30. Hare Krishna.